Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
See, today I'm just going to be talking about your posture for your new season. As we prepare for 2024, what postures should we have in mind? And I think today we'll probably just be able to talk about one, but let's just, you know, follow in the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is posture? If you've been in this church long enough, you would have heard posture like a million times already. You know, Pastor talks a lot about posture. What is posture? Posture is how you stand. Posture is your approach. Posture is your standing. It describes your frame as a human being. Hallelujah. The main text will be from John chapter 2. Oh, Matthew 9. Did I call Matthew 9? Okay. John chapter 2. John chapter 2. From verse 1. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. So you are not the only one who goes to Owambe. Jesus was invited to a wedding and he attended. They invited him, they invited his disciples. But some people who usually restrict access cards, you can't have Jesus as your guest because he comes with plus 12, not even plus 1. And when they wanted wine. Now I want you to look at the word wanted. Not that they needed, they wanted wine. The mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, woman, look, I just came here to unwind. I came here to enjoy myself. You know, during the children's party yesterday, I realized that I had not been to a party in a long while. So I danced. I danced so much. I danced yesterday. I danced so much. And the challenge was the only people I could dance with were the children. Some responded. Neraya did not respond. She was just looking at me. You know, Karina never allowed me carry her. But I realized that I had not gone for an event. So you understand how that you go for an event and you just want to enjoy yourself. You don't want any drama around your presence. You just want to enjoy the event and feel. I'm not sure so many people invite Jesus to their weddings. I mean, before he gets there and turns into a crusade. So this particular one was one that he probably just wanted to enjoy. And then the mother came and said, there's no wine. And he said, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. And his mother said to the servants. Now, the mother told Jesus, Jesus, they do not have wine. And Jesus said, it's not yet time. And she didn't continue the conversation with Jesus. She turned to the servant and she said, whatever he says to you, do it. And she left. Now, the wise servant heard what she said. Go to verse 6. Now, there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 to 30 gallons apiece. Go on. And Jesus said to them, so, the servant heard when she said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. But they also heard when he said, it is not my time. I came here to enjoy myself. Now, the servants were wise enough to know that it is just at the command of his word and there will be a miracle. So for them, their posture was just give the word. Now, Jesus meant it when he said it was not his time. He wasn't trying to be proud, you know. My daughter, there was a day she had a new pair of shoes and she came back from school and said, mommy, I didn't blab in school today. Then I said, what did you do? I mean, she just got back from school and she just said, I didn't blab in school today. Then I said, okay, so tell me, what exactly did you do? This one that you're telling me you didn't, that means you've done something. And she said, no, I just told my friends that I have a new pair of shoes. I said, okay. So, Jesus had said, it's not my time. And he meant it. He wasn't joking. And then the servant stayed back with him. You know, they could have given him the attitude, Mama, he said it's not his time yet. Okay, Oga, when you day ready, call us. We did that corner. Am I right? Or they could just have told him, Oga said it's not his time. What's your own concern? He has told you to leave him, and they would just have walked away. But they stayed. And the posture they gave Jesus triggered him to perform his first miracle, even though it was not his time. But because they were ready to act, they probably surrounded Jesus and they probably were just looking at him, and he saw that, this one. You know, it was hard. He couldn't even tell those servants, I said it is not my time. It would be less stress for him to just perform the miracle than try to convince them. And that was how Jesus said, fill the water pots with water. So I'm talking about a posture of obedience. Obedience not just, speak, Lord, I hear you. Obedience that starts with your readiness. The readiness of mind. Obedience that starts with you already settling in your mind that whatever he says, whether it is palatable, if it doesn't matter if I'm comfortable with it or not, it doesn't matter if it is something I expect or not, as long as the word comes, at your word, just speak the word. That is the readiness of heart. Obedience does not start when you begin to do what he has said you should do. Obedience starts from when he looks into your heart and he can see that you are actually ready to receive his instructions. Hallelujah. The readiness of heart. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Acts chapter 17 verse 11. Are we there? These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness. They received the word. The word already found a foundation of readiness in their hearts. So it was easy for the word to grow. They received his instructions with all readiness. 2024 is loaded with instructions. I know 2023, we came in and we said, oh God, I'm just going to be all out for you. Pastor was speaking in first service and he said, be steadfast. He was talking about us giving our all, abounding in plenty in the work of God. These things come with instructions, but these instructions must find a ready heart to obey. Hallelujah. So your posture for 2024, one of the things you're going to prioritize is your obedience to God, and it starts from your readiness. Praise the Lord. It starts from what? Your readiness to do, your readiness to act, the readiness of your heart to receive his word, not just waiting until the word comes. Your heart is already prepared for the instruction. Your heart is already prepared for what he has to say. You are already telling him, even if he doesn't want to speak, he sees that you're already eager to hear. Now, remember that at that wedding, it wasn't like they needed the wine. They just wanted it. There's a difference between what you want and what you need. So some things may not be so paramount for Jesus. I mean, for you, it's just like you want a new pair of shoes. And it has happened severally. You just want something. It's not like you must get that thing to fulfill your ministry. Do you understand? It's not like if you don't have that particular stuff, you can't fulfill your ministry. But for you to trigger him to act, for you to trigger the miraculous, for you to trigger that prophecy that has been hanging over you, there is a posture of readiness that you must exude. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 10. I'm just trying to really move fast. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and from verse 5. From verse 5. It says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, how many of you remembered COVID-19? I mean, I'm not sure we can forget COVID-19 so fast. COVID-19 is a good example of how a virus invaded the earth, and the only way around it, there was no cure. The only way around it was to generate a vaccine. Now, I hope you know that that vaccine was actually the virus itself being injected into your body so that your body can by itself build immunity against that attack. Hallelujah. So bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. Go to verse 6. I'm trying to get at something. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So the cure for disobedience is actually your obedience. The way to come out of your disobedience is actually to inject obedience into it. Disobedience is the opposite of obedience. So the way to be obedient is actually to be obedient. Now, I know sometimes we like shortcuts. We like two keys. We like three keys. But this one is just plain. The war against obedience starts in the mind, the imaginations, the rationales, the logic. You're thinking about it. You're overthinking a particular instruction. God says, go and do this. And then you're thinking, how? What happens? God has already said, go. Can you just trust in that process and just go? Hallelujah. 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 I quickly jump to 1 Kings chapter 3, and I just want to quickly call our attention to the life of Solomon. We already know that Solomon gave an offering, right? 1,000 cattle, or what was it? 1 Kings chapter, go to verse 4. He gave an offering, and the Lord came to him in a dream. I know the way they taught us that in our children's church is that while he was giving the offering, then the Lord said, Solomon, what do you want? You know, but what happened was after he gave the offering, he had gone to bed and the Lord came to him in a dream. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. Go to verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and he said, ask. Now let me just say that the wealth, the wisdom, the prosperity that Solomon came into was not initiated by the offering he gave. It was not this offering that he gave that resulted in God saying, what do you want? If you go back to the book of 1 Chronicles, there had been a prophecy over the life of Solomon by Nathan. Nathan had gone to David and said, the Lord is your son, this mic, okay. The Lord is choosing your son and the Lord will establish his kingdom. 1 Chronicles. There had been a detailed prophecy over the life of Solomon. I don't want to go into all those details, but let's go to 1 Chronicles 28, where David himself, 1 Chronicles 28 from verse 5. We will come back to 1 Kings. I always tell people, when you've not read your Bible in a week, when you come to church, every Bible verse that is called, just note it down. When you get back home, go and read it as your Bible reading for the week. For the lazy people, until you get used to studying your Bible. Hallelujah. So this was David saying. He said, and of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. Verse 6. Now he said to me, it is your son Solomon who will build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son and I will be his father. So at this point, Solomon was not even aware that God had loved him this much. Do you agree with me? So it was not because Solomon burnt, because many a times you read 1 Kings chapter 3 and you rush to empty your account and God is looking at you and wondering, okay, who is that? It was not the burnt offering that made God choose Solomon. There was a prophecy ahead of Solomon. Now, moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, for he is steadfast to observe my commandments and my judgments as it is this day. So from time immemorial, Solomon had been a man who was steadfast to observe God's commandments. He had been a man who had lived according to the precepts of God. He had been a man who had lived a life of obedience. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 3 also says that Solomon had walked continually with the Lord. He had walked according to the commandments of the Lord. Now go on to, no, we're still on 1 Chronicles. Media team, you're with me today. I love that. So go to verse 7. I think I stopped at verse 7. Verse 8. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord. So what got you God's attention in the first instance was the fact that Solomon had been a man who was always after God's commandments. And then David was telling him, you have to be careful to seek God's commandment, to continue in this, to continue to live a life of obedience, that you may possess the good land and leave it as an inheritance for your own children also after you forever. Go on, verse 9. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father. Serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and he understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. So this was the statutes of David that Solomon held onto. So if you go back to 1 Kings 3:3, you will see that Solomon held onto the statutes of David. This was what David told him to do. Continually seek the Lord. Let your heart be willing. Let your heart be obedient to him. Because beyond the offering you have put on the altar, what the Lord will search first is your heart. So what attracted God to call Solomon that night was not the smoke that was rising from the altar. It was the smoke that was rising from a heart of obedience. It was the fact that his heart was already on an altar before the Lord. He was a yielded man. Hallelujah. He was a yielded man. When you talk of obedience, he was that yielded. Now, the challenge with Solomon was the same heart he had given to God was what he began to share with all those women. And those women began to take the portion he had given them to their own gods. And so God, who was looking, because if God was only considering his offerings, God would still be pleased with Solomon. But God was looking at his heart and he saw that the heart had been he saw that the heart had been divided. He saw that other gods had become, because you can't serve a God and not know how to worship the God. Every God is jealous. They want time. So Solomon had given parts of his heart out to these other gods. And then God who looks into the heart, and David warned him. God searches the heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you wake up in the morning, what you're asking God is, Lord, help me. Search my heart and take out everything that is not of you. 2024, you must be ready to give your all to him, starting with your heart. To be steadfast is not by words of your lips. It is by yielding your heart to him. The book of Psalms chapter 27, it says, when the Lord beckons, my heart responds, not my lips. My heart responds. When you call, oh God, my heart answers you first. It is not by the words of promise. Oh, no, 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 no. I'll give 50 million. You'll give 50 million. Praise God. The widows or the poor people you are giving it to will receive it, right? You have blessed them. But do you have a reward for that act? Because God will not look at the 50 million. God will look at your heart first. Why did you give the 50 million? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. How can I obey God? Now, this is a question that must be on our hearts. Many a times we have the instructions. Many a times we know what to do. The challenge comes in when it is time to do it. Now, I want you to know that obedience is a spiritual act. Obedience is a spiritual act. You cannot obey God by yourself. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8 from verse 5. The major reason we struggle with obedience is because we allow carnality to take over our minds. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Obedience is purely a spiritual act. It is not something you achieved through your own willpower. It is not of him that wills. It is not because you want to do it. You must remember that the weapon of your warfare is not carnal. It is, you cannot obey God. The devil knows too much to allow us easily obey God. If obedience was as a result of your willpower, then all of us will be obedient to God. 2024 New Year resolution, they play. That resolution will only last if you are very disciplined. Very, very disciplined. 3 weeks. 3 weeks. New Year resolution to obey God. Every instruction. Do you know it is so bad that I had a strange experience? I don't want to share it. But it's so bad that God is telling you to do something and you are arguing with God in your mind because you have read book too much. Oh, you think that you know it. And then you are telling God, but no now. No, but Father, let's reason it together. And then God leaves you. You go ahead. Then the whatever you have done backfires. Then you now be asking God, God help me. Ah! But I want you. And I don't know if I'm the only one who has experienced that. Maybe every other person here is just 100% obedient to God. It is not by New Year resolution. Forget it. You can't. The carnal mind will take over. In fact, for you to even think you want to obey God through your own powers is already you being carnal. Except you are led by the Spirit of God. Except you depend on the Spirit of God, you not obey God. Because it is not a carnal activity. It is not an activity of the flesh. Hallelujah. It is not by accountability partner. Forget it. Accountability partner. Let's have a WhatsApp group. Then we'll tell ourselves we want to start praying 3 hours a day so that we can learn to hear God. Even if you say let's do WhatsApp prayer, I'm just typing amen. I'll pause my movie on Netflix. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Then some people will now unmute. Oh, Jesus. Then they mute again. It's a lie. It's a lie. Accountability partner will work. If you have very good partners that are very serious, maybe 4 weeks before they get tired of following up on you. It is not by self-motivation. Have you not seen this skit that goes around the chicken challenging the dog? And then they wrote under, only God knows what motivational speakers have told this one. It is not by motivating yourself and waking up in the morning and say, I motivate myself. No. If you are waking up to say, Holy Spirit, I depend on you today to hear you and to go in the direction and walk according to the will of the Father. Yes. But you want to encourage yourself and tell yourself, I am motivated to do the will of God. Hello. Hallelujah. It is not a thing of the mind. Let's read on Romans chapter 5. Let's go to verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Everything that is tied to whatever the devil wants is tied, is linked to death. And so the only way the devil can actualize it is to lead us to be carnally minded. So forget it. Obedience is not one of those things that the devil will push and say, let me even see if you obey God. Never. The devil doesn't take chances. Let me even try and see if you obey God. It's not possible. Next verse. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind does not have the capacity to obey God. The carnal mind does not have the capacity to align with God. The carnal mind does not have what it takes to hear God and obey. Now, when I say obey, I am not talking of partial obedience. The outcome of the instruction the Lord has given you is the timing of the outcome of the instruction the Lord has given you is at the Lord's prerogative. So the Lord says, wait on me for 3 days. Then you wait 2 days and nothing happens. And then you tell yourself, maybe I didn't really hear God. Or maybe God doesn't even really mean anything. Oh boy, I've tried for 2 days. You are not the one who will determine when that thing that God wants to do gets done. It is not at your own prerogative. I jump back again to John chapter 2, and I'm just trying to round up now. It's a very short one, don't worry. Pastor said, anytime I like, I should close. If I like, close at 11. Time to show if I have power. I jump back to John chapter 2. Give me verse 7. Hallelujah. And I pray that for every one of us in the year 2024, the Lord will give us grace, not only to hear him, but to be able to obey him. Not to obey partially, but for us to be able to go the full length and obey every ink of the instruction. In the name of Jesus. And Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them. They filled them to the brim. Now, Jesus didn't even say fill to the brim. Jesus just said, fill it with water. But it's okay. They filled to the brim. Next verse. And he said, draw out some now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. Jesus did not pray on the water. Jesus did not put his hand in the water. Jesus did not touch the water. Jesus said, fill it. And I can imagine that the last servant poured the last bucket of water in it. And Jesus said, draw it out now. Okay? You have not even done anything. Ha! You told me to bring an offering. I have brought the offering and you're just telling me, go home. Father. Jesus did not do anything. Because many a times we want to see him in the earthquake. We want to see him in the thunderstorm. We want to see him in the activities. We want to see him in the fire. But he is not in the fire. So he said, draw out now and take it to the master of the feast. That was the instruction. The instruction did not stop at draw out. So they drew the water. Move to the next verse. And the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from. But the servant who had drawn the water knew, not the servant who filled the pot with water. Because when they were filling it with water, it was water. When they were drawing it out, it was still water. And they took the water because he said who had drawn the water, not who filled. So they drew the water and they were going. And I can imagine one of the servants stumbled and part of the water fell on him and it was still water. And he was still going. It splashed on his shirt and it was still water. And he was still going and he looked into the transmitter and it was still water. But the instruction was take it to the governor. So the miracle happened after they completed that cycle of instruction and they handed it over to the governor. It is not at your prerogative to start checking. Father, is it still water? Has it turned to wine? Oh my God, I'm worried. Oh Father, you are a faithful Father. He has given you the instruction. Just go the length of the instruction. Is it still water? Is this even the mother that said whatever he tells you to do, do. She already left. She was probably on the high table. Because for your son and 12 other people to get invitation, you must be important at that wedding. So she was also probably waiting for the wine to come. She had left. You consider a matter. You leave it as his feet because you have absolute trust. And that is what obedience is about. When you obey God, it is because you have absolute trust in him. You have absolute trust that even if it is still water while I'm taking it, it splashes on my paper, I see that it is not wine. It pours on me, I see that it is still water. Until I get to the governor, I peep into the cup, it is still water. But at the point the governor took a sip, it changed to wine. 2024 is your year of full, complete obedience in the name of Jesus. You will be steadfast in the instruction that the Lord has given unto you. But you can't do it without leaning on the Holy Spirit. Because imaginations will rise. Thoughts will rise. Your logic will come to play. You cannot depend on the Holy Spirit if you don't shut the mind of logic. If you don't shut the mind of being rational. The Lord says, I will give you double. And you are wondering, God, why don't you just start with one? Why don't you just start with one? I remember at the point when I was going to make a transition at work, my appraisal had just been done and I was told you are not promoted. And I said, God, I wanted a promotion. And I remember I spoke to Pastor about it. And when I want things like that, I don't call him. I say, Pastor. Pastor, you're my pastor. You know? And he just told me, he said, you want the promotion, you will get it. I said, amen. Then he said something. He said, whether your current organization likes it or not, whether they give you or not, you will get it. And I was like, where else will I get it? That year, within 6 months, I moved 2 levels. I moved into a level it would have taken me minimum of 5 years in my current organization to get into. You just have to learn how to be totally reliant on God. Totally dependent on Him. By the help of the Holy Spirit. Because many of us will receive instructions. I know there are very spiritual people here. You begin to receive instructions before the end of the year. Crossover, you have instructions. Many of us have diaries for every year. Instructions, diaries of instructions for each of the years. And the Lord will tell you, do this, do this. Don't tell yourself, I have done it over a while. I have not seen any result. And so I want to just move on. Or you drop it. Because imaginations will rise. You have to understand. And the imaginations that will not rise in your neighbor's mind. They will rise in your mind. The thoughts that will battle that instruction will rise within you. Oh, but by the power of the Holy Ghost. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Bible records that further down in Romans chapter 8, I think verse 26, that we, even though we don't know how to pray, the Spirit of the Lord understands our infirmities, understands our weak points, understands which imagination will fight against us the most, and He begins to intercede for us. So when you lean on the Holy Spirit, you are telling Him, Holy Ghost, help me because I do not know how to go about this anymore. And then the Spirit of the Lord takes up the matter from your hands. He begins to look into your heart, looks into the will of God. Oh, this part does not align with this part. You don't need to understand it. It is with groanings that you cannot understand. But you just have to, you have to believe in that process and just keep your focus on Him. 2024, we will wait on the Lord. We will wait not only to hear the instructions. We will wait to be able to act. We will wait on Him for strength to be able to tarry. In the name of Jesus, rise to your feet. Begin to receive grace, 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 grace to be totally